Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Teignmouth Area Talking Newspaper. Today is Friday, May the 3rd, and I'm Jean Cole, and we are the Yellow Team. And I'm joined by two readers from our team for this week's programme. Let's meet them.
Hello, I'm Maggie West.
And hello, I'm Linda Bowman.
Right, before we start, I've got a note for your diary. It's quite long and it's for one event taking place in Paignton next week. And it's called Living Well with Sight Loss, the Torbay event for 2024. It takes place on Thursday the 9th of May from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Jasmine House, 1 Midvale Road, Paignton, TQ4 5DB. Now there's a lot going on. There's plenty of contributors, and I'll just read you a quick list of some of them. The event's called Keeping You Informed, Safe, Positive and Connected, and the exhibitors include Blind Veterans UK, Community Energy Torbay, Devon Diabetic Eye Screening, Devon in Sight, Eye Clinic Liaison Officer from Torbay, the Lions Club of Paignton, Living Options from Devon, Sensory Team Torbay, Sight and Sound Technology Limited, and Torbay Social Club for the Blind. The whole event has been sponsored by Tesco's. Now, it takes place, as I said, between 10 and 2, and it's at Jasmine House, 1 Midvale Road. And there are two car parks nearby, Station Lane Car Park, which is a 5-minute walk, and Great Western Car Park, which is a 6-minute walk. And it's by rail, is an 8-minute walk from the station, Paignton Station that is, and the number 22 bus stops outside Jasmine House. Now you need to book if you need to go, and the number to ring is 01392 876 666. I'll read that again. 01392 876 666, or it's at www.devoninsight.org.uk. That's www.devoninsight.org.uk, and you do have to contact them to book a place. So that's on Thursday the 9th of May from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Jasmine House, 1 Midvale Road in Paignton, TQ4 5DB. Right, now we'll get on with our news. And our headlines this week are Council Office Ban, Former Mayor Admits Making Indecent Images, and Wheelie, Good Times Ahead. So to our first story from Maggie.
Council Office Ban. Councillors denied access to officers over bullying. Elected Teignbridge Council members are still not allowed direct access to its staff following incidents of threats, bullying and intimidation. Councillors have been unable to use their passes to gain entry to offices in Ford House and Newton Abbott since the pandemic. Previously, members had enjoyed free rein of the building and were able to speak directly to officers. But incidents of poor behaviour by councillors led to the current situation where members only have access to the main council chamber. At his last meeting as chairman, Councillor Chris Clarence said he was disappointed they were still not back in the building. He told full council a protocol being drawn up for members to follow was still not approved. He said some staff felt threatened, bullied and intimidated by some councillors. We were all set to be let back in the building, but we need this member protocol to be approved. I believe this has been going on too long. The protocol was expected to include points for councillors to avoid personal barbs and not to antagonise staff. After the meeting, council leader Councillor Martin Wrigley said, post-pandemic, members' passes had not been re-enabled to give access to the offices in Ford House. He said there was access to common areas, including the chamber, but not to offices. He said there was some concern that access had been abused. There were incidents of some bad behaviour, and underlying this, there was some bad blood, which we have been trying to smooth over. It seemed sensible to have a protocol in place. Behaviour has been better over the last year, but the protocol drawn up was too long, so we are in the process of negotiating a shorter and more usable version. It needs to be resolved sooner rather than later. It had been suggested that councillors having access to some staff had been useful in the past, such as regarding planning issues. But there needed to be a balance between protecting staff, some who had been reported to be in tears, following the behaviour of individual councillors, while allowing collaborative communication. And there is a coloured photograph of Teignbridge District Council's headquarters at Ford House in Newton Abbot.
Former mayor admits making indecent images. A former mayor of Tynmouth, an ex-teacher, has pleaded guilty to making indecent images of a child. James McMurray, 42, of Willow Street, pleaded guilty before Newton Abbot magistrates to three charges. The case was adjourned until June the 4th for a pre-sentence report to be prepared. McMurray served as a town, district and county councillor for Tynmouth. He was the youngest mayor of Tynmouth when he served in 2012 to 2013 and stood for a parliamentary seat in Bristol for UKIP in a general election. He also worked as a teacher at Brixham Community College. He has admitted publishing an obscene article on July the 1st, 2022 at Tynmouth, and he has pleaded guilty to making an indecent photo or pseudo-photo of a child on January the 1st, 2007 at Tynmouth, described as one Category A photo of a child. He further admitted making indecent photos of a child, namely four Category C pictures of children, on January the 1st, 2007, at Tynmouth.
And now for something completely different. Really good times ahead. A new attraction will soon be towering over Dawlish Warren, 6 years after it was first suggested. Construction is currently underway on a 34-metre observation wheel being erected on the Teignbridge Council-owned grassy area of Beech Walk. Once up and running, it will provide views from the top of the wheel across the Warren and its nature reserve, the ex-estuary and further afield. It has taken a long time to get from the initial plans made in 2018 to taking its first passengers. The wheel has been given planning permission for 6 months over the summer season this year, while its potential impact on biodiversity and the ex-estuary is assessed and reviewed. It will provide 108 seats for visitors seated in 18 gondolas. Plans were first submitted in 2018 after the owner of the adjacent amusement park was approached by Teignbridge Council to see if he would be willing to operate an observation wheel. Similar wheels are now synonymous with holiday resorts such as nearby Torquay and across the estuary in Exmouth. The idea was suggested as it was considered to provide an added attraction to the current promenade, the beach, the amusements and food and retail units. Concerns were raised that the wheel would attract more visitors to the area, which could harm the Warren, an internationally recognised important wildlife habitat. And concern was also raised about the impact of views from Mamhead House and Powderham Castle, but this was thought to be minimal. The wheel will be silent running and is more of a leisurely experience for visitors than a thrill attraction. When the application was first submitted, it attracted some support with regular visitors describing it as a great idea and was good to see local individuals willing to invest in the area. And younger people also considered it as a good addition to the Warren. But there were some concerns from objectors saying it was out of keeping and would be an eyesore. And Dawlish Town Council initially objected to the plans on the grounds it would cause disruption to residents and wildlife, suggesting a temporary seasonal wheel was more appropriate for the location. And this is what is now in place. Natural England were consulted on the plans and agreed that a temporary development on the site would not have an adverse effect on the integrity of the ex-estuary and the Dawlish Warren sites. The applicants have pointed out that this kind of wheel had been seen in family holiday resorts for more than 100 years. The design and colouring of the observation wheel is to make it visually unobtrusive. And that aside, all major seaside resorts, as well as in London, have embraced these key attractions to further enhance their resorts. And there's a photograph of the wheel under construction. So at the moment, it just looks like a load of bits and pieces. But hopefully, next week, maybe, it will be up and running.
Anger after council rock gardeners boat plans. Residents in Tynmouth are outraged after Devon Highways officers have demanded a volunteer gardeners remove flowerbed boats from a grass verge near the town centre. Gardening volunteers and local councillors installed two boat planters on the grass verge on Parsons Street, opposite the Blue Anchor pub, at the beginning of April. The boats have since been sanded and painted, ready for planting, with flowers to contribute to Tynmouth in bloom. However, Tynmouth Town Council has received a demand from Devon Highways engineers that the flower boxes must be removed immediately. We've asked for the boat to be removed from the grass verge of Parsons Street for safety reasons, as it was obstructing visibility at the junction, a Devon County Council spokesperson confirmed. Volunteers are adamant that the boat flower boxes on Parsons Street were placed in accordance with highway rules. Adele Hearn, who runs the Blue Anchor, said, "I'm crestfallen. I'd organised the local community to look after the area once it was planted and changed it to a pocket park. I know a lot of people were delighted when Tynmouth Town Councillors Penny Lloyd, Dan Comer and Mike Jacksman, along with volunteers, started work on the area. Now we don't know what's happening. We've been cast adrift." The move has confused the guerrilla gardeners, as a similar flower boat box is situated directly on the highway in nearby Shoreden. The volunteers also point out that the idea to introduce boat planters was based on a Devon County Council scheme called Life on the Verge in Devon. In its guidance, Devon County Council says, "Community management of road verges is essential if we want to maintain and maximise their wildlife value." Devon County Councillor for Tynmouth David Cox said he's looking into the matter. "Cash-strapped Devon County Council should not be undermining local residents," he said. "If there was a health and safety issue, Devon County Council should have looked to find a solution by working with the guerrilla gardeners and residents. Instead, it looks like a high-handed approach has been taken." And there's a lovely photograph of the guerrilla gardeners sitting in their beautifully painted blue boat outside the Blue Anchor, looking very, very upset.
RNLI volunteer raises more than £2,000. Tynmouth Royal National Lifeboat Institute volunteer Anne Steele Arnott has raised over £2,000 for the life-saving charity after running the London Marathon on Sunday, April the 21st. Anne, who has been volunteering for the RNLI for 22 years, started running last November after having a bone removed from her hand. She used running to combat the boredom of recovery and found she quickly fell in love with pounding the pavements. After taking part in the Couch to 5K challenge, the volunteer lifeboat visits officer started following a marathon program and on March the 9th was invited to take part in the London Marathon with just 6 weeks to prepare. Anne described how she went into shock for the first 3 days and then got on with the job of both fundraising and training. Anne set up a Just Giving page on March the 23rd and quickly smashed her first target of £1,000. So she decided to aim for £1,824 to represent the date of the RNLI was founded. After reaching this target, she decided to try and hit £2,024 to represent the bicentenary, which she has again exceeded. The total amount raised so far stands at £2,300. After completing the London Marathon, Anne said she loved it and is incredibly thankful for the lovely messages and kind donations. She has now put her name in the ballot for 2025 event, and she also plans to run a mile every day in May for the RNLI May Day Challenge. We are incredibly thankful to Anne for running the London Marathon on behalf of Tynmouth RNLI. It's a fantastic achievement, and the donations raised will help us to continue to save lives at sea, said a spokesperson from Tynmouth RNLI. Everyone at Tynmouth RNLI was proud to see Anne running on behalf of the station, and we thank those who have supported her and donated to the cause. Anne is still accepting donations through her Just Giving page, which includes blog posts about her journey. And the address is https://www.justgiving.com/page/Anne-Steele-Arnett-17114169230. And there's a photograph of Anne holding her arms in triumph, and she's obviously wearing sunglasses, so it must have been a nice day, and she's still holding a bottle of water.
Classic car fundraiser for air show. Automobiles will be assisting aeroplanes on the Den at Tynmouth this weekend. Saturday will see the Den packed with vintage cars, classic cars, motorcycles and trikes, as the Tynmouth Air Show fundraising classic car, bike and trike show gets underway. Along with the retro and classic motors on display from 10 a.m, there will also be refreshments, inflatable fun and face painting. All proceeds from the event will go directly to the Tynmouth Air Show, the three-day event which takes place from July the 4th to the 7th. Featured this year on Air Display Day, which is on July the 6th, will be the RAF Red Arrows, Typhoon Display Team and Battle of Britain Memorial Flight. And they'll also be joined in the skies with Team Raven, the Gazelle Squadron and the Jubilee Pits Display Teams. Run by a team of passionate volunteers, Tynmouth Air Show is funded by the community for the community, thanks to supporters and sponsors. And there's a photograph of, presumably a previous car show, with a lot of men all looking into open bonnets of cars, obviously admiring the engines. And they all look like sort of Ford-type cars. Do you remember those, like the Ford Anglia and things like that? Anyway, they all look very interested and look like they're enjoying themselves.
And now we have another marathon success to report. Marathon man Jamie tops 9K. A Tynmouth man has raised more than £9,000 for the Alzheimer's Society after running the London Marathon at the weekend. Jamie Dyson, partner solicitor at Scott Richards, has so far raised a total of £9,328.63 for the charity, which he chose in support of his grandmother, Dottie. The fundraising total includes around £6,000 raised last year, before Jamie unfortunately had to defer his place due to injury, just over £3,000 raised ahead of this year's marathon. Finishing the 26.2-mile course in 3 hours and 45 minutes, Jamie is grateful for all the donations and said, "Thanks to everyone who sponsored me this year and last year for an amazing charity." Anyone wishing to top up the total can donate via Jamie's Just Giving page, https://www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Jamie-Dyson5. The Alzheimer's Society is the UK's leading dementia charity. It supports people living with dementia and funds research to find a cure. And there's a lovely photograph of Jamie being congratulated by his grandmother Dottie and his daughter Olive.
Plans to replace dilapidated hut. Plans have been submitted to replace a dilapidated beach hut in Tynmouth. The hut on the river beach in a tired state, and the application to Teambridge Council planners is looking to build a new hut aimed at improving the appearance and able to endure exposure to the weather. In a statement, the owners say they want to remove the current building and construct a replacement to fit in with neighbouring huts. It says the new beach hut will replace a tired and dilapidated beach hut and use materials, shapes and detailing which reflect the existing neighbouring huts. The impact of the replacement hut will be negligible and will in fact improve the appearance of what is there. The plans also include installing solar PV to the southwest facing elevation to contribute to bringing the carbon footprint down. The ground area of the replacement beach hut will remain the same as the existing beach hut structure, but the height of the replacement hut is proposed to be slightly higher than what exists now, but keep in scale compared to other surrounding huts. Access to the beach hut will remain very much the same as it is now. The statement added, "It is hoped Teignbridge District Council and the conservation team agree we are working to preserve the appearance of the area. The changes are minimal, modest and simple, and the beach hut will be constructed in a manner which should endure the exposure of the weather, if approved." It says the proposal is following trends evident in the area, which balance the needs of the typical user to the space and intended enjoyment of the hut. It says it is not the intention, nor in the interest of the applicant, to detract from the surrounding area. It is hoped the proposal will enhance the application site and result in a high-quality addition to the area. The river beach huts are in a conservation area near the lifeboat station. Data shown on Ordnance Survey maps indicate there have been structures of some sort on the site dating back to 1937, and there's a photograph of the dilapidated beach hut in between all the other huts, which don't look that much better, and the original dilapidated one was obviously painted white, but it looks as though the paint has been peeling for some time.
Composers celebrated in tribute concert. Two giants of music will be celebrated by Teign Choral Society at St Michael's Church in Teignmouth this Saturday. Oh no, sorry, I've got that wrong. I've got my dates wrong. I'll say that again. Two Giants of Music will be celebrated by Teign Choral Society at St Michael's Church in Teignmouth next Saturday, May the 11th. The Society will be presenting a tribute concert featuring the music of Carl Jenkins, who turns 80 this year, and also that of Andrew Lloyd Webber, a man who has done so much to keep musical theatre at the forefront of our culture. Under the direction of David Bowles, the choir will perform Carl Jenkins' motets. The composer himself defined a motet as a piece of sacred music for unaccompanied voices, although the arrangement David has chosen does allow accompaniment. There are elements from Adiemus, The Armed Man, The Peacemakers, Palladio and others, which will be instantly recognisable, featuring as they do Jenkins' hypnotic melodies and rhythms. The Phantom of the Opera is one of Andrew Lloyd Webber's most performed works. His wonderful music, together with the lyrics of Charles Hart, Mike Batt and Richard Stilgoe, bring to life the fascinating tale of the outstandingly talented artist and musician who, because of disfigurement, withdrew to the labyrinth beneath the Paris Opera House, remaining a sinister presence. The choir and talented soloists Demelza Bellamy, Naomi Heffer and Peter Wood will sing seven songs that encapsulate the story, ending with a powerful phantom theme itself. And there is a photograph attached of Teign Choral Society at a previous concert, and all singing, and it looks like, I think it must be the same church, St Michael's Church, because it looks magnificent.
Businesses in awards running. Three businesses in Teignbridge have been shortlisted for the Devon and Plymouth Chamber Awards, which celebrate Devon's leading entrepreneurs and businesses. Neil Salter, founder of Coast Cams, based in Dawlish, is shortlisted for the Game Changer Award, which recognises an individual who has turned an idea into a successful, sustainable business. Newton Abbott's No Limits Cafe, Kitchen and Hub is a finalist in the Equality Trailblazer category, which celebrates an organisation that champions diversity and promotes inclusion in their workforce, with their customers and in community outreach work. Architects Co-Create, which has offices in Sealhane, Newton Abbot, has been shortlisted for two awards, the Rapid Riser for demonstrating exceptional growth with a sustainable plan for continued financial performance, and Creative Business of the Year. The Chamber received 160 nominations across the 12 award categories. Winners will be announced at a ceremony at the Crown Plaza in Plymouth on Friday, May the 17th.
Two call-outs and a fallen tree doesn't stop walk. More than 200 hikers, ramblers and roamers took part in Dartmoor Search and Rescue Team's largest fundraising event of the year. Now in its 12th year, the team's Templar Way Challenge saw walkers traverse the Templar Way, a route linking Haytor and Dartmoor with the seaport of Tynmouth. The challenge raises money for the rescue team, which is a registered charity of more than 60 volunteers who assist emergency services in search and rescue operations across Dartmoor. Thank you and huge congratulations to everyone that took part, a spokesman for Dartmoor Search and Rescue Team said. This year, we were privileged to have 250 of you give up your Sundays to come out and walk the 18 miles from Haytor to Shoreden and help raise an incredible amount of money for the team. We are extremely grateful, the spokesman added. The rescue team received two call-outs during the event, which took place on Sunday, April the 28th, but these were quickly dealt with, as was a fallen tree at Stover. Special thanks was given to Newton Abbott's A Bite to Eat Mobile Catering, who, in addition to presenting the team with a cheque for £315, provided refreshments for participants. Shoreden's London Inn also received praise for its hospitality. Where possible, the Templar Way route follows the line of the Stover Canal, built by John Templar to carry clay for export, and the Haytor Granite Tramway. Granite that travelled along this tramway was used in the building of London Bridge, the British Museum, and the National Gallery. And there's a photograph of some of the walkers arriving in Shoreden, looking very pleased with a big thumbs up sign for one of them, and the other one looking very happy walking along with her, I think they're called Nordic walking poles.
And now the obituaries. Mabin Jean Ford passed away peacefully at home on the 7th of April 2024. Dearly loved wife of the late Peter, a mother to Alan, Nick, Joe, Stuart, Vicky, and the late Emma. 9 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. She will be deeply missed by all who knew and loved her. Funeral service will take place on Thursday, the 9th of May, in St Gregory's Church, Dawlish, at 11:30 a.m., followed by a private burial in Dawlish Cemetery. Family flowers only, and the family would like to thank everyone who has sent cards, flowers, and warm wishes. Martin Paul Grimshaw passed away peacefully on Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024, aged 56 years. Loving partner of Paula, dad to Josh, Jess and Lee, and a great pop-pop to his grandchildren who will miss him dearly. Church service at St Gregory's Dawlish, which will take place on Wednesday, the 15th of May, followed by a private burial at Dawlish Cemetery. Family flowers only, please, and all inquiries to Lindsay Kemp, J.H. Way Funeral Service, 9 Brook Street, Dawlish. And David Stuart Moore passed away peacefully at home on the 18th of April 2024. Dearly loved husband of Barbara, he will be deeply missed by all who knew and loved him. Funeral service to take place on Wednesday, the 15th of May, at St Peter's Chapel at the Exeter and Devon Crematorium at 11:30 a.m. Family flowers only. Inquiries to Lindsay Kemp, J.H. Way Funeral Service, 9 Brook Street, Dawlish. And now we have a report from Dawlish Garden Society sent in by June Cassidy. For our April meeting, we were delighted to have a talk from Brian Carlson. Brian has previously talked to us about his passion for pelargoniums, and this time he was back to tell us all about hanging baskets and the secret of his success with the Floral Wonders. He started his talk describing the different styles and shapes available through garden centres and online, and he recommended a 14-inch diameter wire basket which would take 9 plants to fill. He suggested, after filling the basket in front of us, a selection of flowers to put in, such as Lobelia, Verbena, Nemesia, Bacopia, Bidens and Safina petunias, to fill the outer room and create a colourful display of your choice. During the summer, it is essential to water at least daily, maybe even twice a day, depending on where the baskets will be hung. Do not let the basket dry out, as it's then difficult to get the compost back to a decent moisture level. Apply a high potash fertiliser, such as tomato feed, once a week for continuous flowering. Happily, hanging baskets don't suffer from any pests, but keep an eye out for caterpillars and butterflies. And if whitefly are present, then spray with a teaspoon of washing up liquid in a pint of water to see them off in an ecological way. And then Brian then treated us to images of his prize-winning baskets, both at shows and his home. And also, continuing with Dawlish Garden Society, Dawlish Garden Society are hosting their spring plant sale and seed swap in the town next Saturday. The event will be held outside the Strand Centre on Saturday, May the 11th, and will run from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m, or until, hopefully, all the plants have been sold. All the plants have been grown or donated by DGS members, and there will also be an assortment of pots, books and garden-related sundries on sale.
Treble the laughs at comedy gig. Three comedians will be helping to exercise the chuckle muscles at Pavilions Tynmouth next Friday. The monthly comedy night on May the 10th will feature Danny Deegan, Kev Mudd and Danny Ward, plus the fabulous Tom Glover as compere. With the confidence and swagger that you might expect of a Northwest comedian at the very top of his game, Danny Deegan is a comedian, writer and actor whose tales of mischief and the characters he creates have kept audiences all over the country entertained. Kev Mudd performs both stand-up and spoken word. His material touches upon his varied life experiences such as homelessness, addiction, mental health, death, and religion. The observational humour of Danny Ward has an easy-going style, both endearing and very funny, with a high-energy set not reliant on smut or swearing. Tickets for the gig are priced at £13.50 in advance or £15 on the door. And there is a photograph of the three comedians all looking, well, interesting.
Darkside have their finger on the PULSE. Pink Floyd tribute band, The Dark Side of Pink Floyd, bring their 2024 UK tour to Brixham Theatre next Friday with a set of classic songs from Floyd's celebrated 1994 Pulse tour. With sell-out theatre shows across the UK, The Dark Side of Pink Floyd is a premier touring tribute band featuring the authentic sound of Pink Floyd, delivered by seasoned musicians with over 150 years of total experience. Each show includes a custom-designed thematic light show, spectacular laser effects and circular video screens delivering a visual feast, accumulating to give audiences a dizzying, moving and memorable experience, which is truly unforgettable. More than just an ordinary Pink Floyd tribute band, The Dark Side of Pink Floyd entertain audiences with a fantastic light show and passionate performances. Due to the demand for their faithful reproduction of Pink Floyd's classic music, The Dark Side of Pink Floyd are a regular feature at major national music venues, festivals and theatres. They were also the first band to play a live public performance inside the prehistoric caves of the world-famous Kent's Cavern, and they've had 5 sell-out concerts deep underground at Carnglass Caverns as part of their highly acclaimed Echoes of the Past tour. The band are regulars at the world's biggest and best tribute festival, having played and headlined to capacity crowds at Glaston Budget for 7 years. The show has received rave reviews from audiences and critics alike. Tickets for the 7:30 p.m. show on May the 10th are available from www.brixhamtheatre.co.uk.
All hail to the ale! Al Murray has taken to the road again with his new tour, Gov Island. And Gov Island, that's G-U-V, as in governor. Returning as his iconic pub landlord character, the comic will play more than 70 dates at venues across the UK and Ireland, including a date at Torquay's Princess Theatre early this summer. According to promoters Avalon, country, the UK, lost its way, seeks life partner, mentor, inspiration. Good sense of humour essential. No time wasters, tedious show-offs or offendotrons need apply. HR free zone. Standing up so you don't have to take it lying down anymore. The pub landlord is back to make sense of the questions you probably already have the answers to. You know what they say, there's no school like the old school with the dodgy overflowing toilets. Tickets for the 7:30 show on June the 2nd can be booked from the Princess Theatre's online book office at www.atgtickets.com.
Cricket seniors step out for charity. Members of Devon County Seniors Cricket Club stepped out last month to help support a national cancer campaign. Ron's March for Prostate Cancer is the initiative of Ron Headley, a Buckinghamshire seniors player who is walking the cricketing counties to raise awareness of prostate cancer. Close on 20 members of Devon County Seniors Cricket Club, along with Ron, set out from South Devon Cricket Club's Newton Abbott ground and walked to Bovey Tracy Cricket Club for a well-earned pasty and drink. "I was diagnosed with prostate and bone cancer in November 2018, said Ron. "With the help of teammates, friends and celebrities, we organised a cricket match, lunch and auction, then 9 walks, which ended with a lunch in which Alan Lamb and Mick Hartford, both prostate cancer sufferers. Having thought the second lunch would be the end of his fundraising, Ron was inspired after talking to the CEO of Prostate Cancer UK and to the wife of Bob Willis, Lauren Clark, that maybe one more walk should be arranged. From this, we generated the idea that every county playing over 60s cricket should organise a walk in their county, encouraging their members to join me in donating to the cause and increasing awareness for PCA testing, added Ron. The first walk took place in September 2022, and the final walk will be on September the 15th of this year, which is Ron's 75th birthday. To date, more than £30,000 has been raised, and donations can be made at https://www.crowdfunder.co.uk/p/support-Ron's-March-4-prostate-cancer. And there is a photograph of the members of the Devon County Seniors Cricket Club, quite a few of them, and with Ron Headley with the collection bucket at the start of the walk.
Coaster steers to new PB. 3 members of Dawlish Coasters took part in the Total Coastal events last Saturday. 2 of the group took on the half marathon race, which was held over a stunning route starting at Preston Green and following the southwest coast path all the way along to the finish line in Shildon. Katie Holman came home in 27th place with a time of 2 hours, 53 minutes and 17 seconds, and Estelle Skinner crossed the line in 61st place with the clock stopped at 3 hours, 21 minutes and 11 seconds. And Kirsty Walker completed her first ultra marathon on the day, which was a grueling 50-kilometre slog on that same demanding terrain. And Zane Steers had the Dawlish Coasters Club place in the London Marathon this year. And Zane completed the marathon and achieved a huge new personal best time of 3 hours, 18 minutes and 56 seconds, beating his previous time by some 4 minutes. So well done to them all, and there's a photograph of Zane at the London Marathon receiving his certificate for finishing.
And now we have two stories celebrating the success of our local walking football teams. The first one is headlined, Depleted Drifters Scoop Sun-Soaked Silverware. Tynmouth Walking Football's over 60s managed to triumph against adversity in the world's biggest walking football tournament in Albufeira, Portugal. Despite starting with an injury-depleted squad and 2 guest players to fill gaps, the team came in runners-up in the plate competition. 3 defeats and 3 victories in phase 1 of the tournament saw some great goals scored by leading striker Ian Pybus, with more solid forward play leading to goals from Pete Lee, Terry Falcao and captain Dave Fay. The whole team did themselves great credit with hard-working displays from all team members, including substitutes Rob Mawson and Ian Kirchin. The stiffest opposition came from Bolton Nomads, who scored 3 times in a dominant display, where the final score could have been higher but for the usual superb goalkeeping display from Pete Williams, keeping their firepower at bay. However, the Drifters' performances saw them through to the plate competition, where they had to work hard on a scorching hot day to reach the semi-final stage, with victories over Spanish side Real Calahonda and Coles Hill, with 2 more goals from Ian Pybus and another from Dave Fay. The semi-final was a close-run affair against Portuguese side East Algarve. The match finished in a 1-1 draw, with yet another equalising goal from the prolific striker Ian Pybus. So it came to the best of 3 penalties, but there was no result at first, as all 6 attempts were scored. On the sudden death it went. The first penalty from the Algarve team went over the bar, and with some trepidation, Drifters' guest defender Norman White agreed to take the shot. With an outstanding coolness of nerve, he stepped up and slammed his spot kick home, and to much noisy acclaim, ushered the Drifters into the final play for the plate. After a brief rest from the heat, the Drifters went into the final against local team SC Farnese, with great hope of success. Neil McEwen, the Drifters club chairman and club founder, continued to play a gritty and effective game in defence, with strenuous backing from Norman White and outstanding play, as ever, from goalie Peter Williams. The Drifters had, on balance, the best of the play, with a few narrowly missed chances. But less than 5 minutes before the final whistle, Farnese broke quickly out of defence, and despite another athletic attempt by Peter Williams to save an unstoppable shot, they secured victory at their home tournament, leaving the runners-up, silverware and the medals to the Drifters. And there's a lovely photograph of the whole team looking very smart in their black, red and white uniforms. And the teams included Terry Falcao, Dean Hodson, Simon Doty, Dave Fay, Ian Pybus, Andy Burry, Steve Roberts, Ian Kirchin, Rob Mawson, Neil McEwen, Pete Williams, Pete Lee, Norman White, Hugh Dodswald, Steve Mudge, Glyn Borman, and Darren Walsh.
And here is a second article on walking football, entitled Wonder Strike Seals Victory. In the biggest walking football tournament in the world, held on Portugal's Algarve coast, Tynmouth Drifters over 50s won through to the plate final. Hugo Dodswald had an excellent tournament in goal with some magnificent and courageous saves. Dogged defending from Simon Doty, Dean Hodson and Steve Roberts kept losing scores to low numbers, and they showed great skills and energy in linking with midfielders and attackers Steve Mudge, Glyn Borman, Darren Walsh and Andy Burry. In the second league phase, the Drifters began to find form, and 2 draws and a victory got them through to the semi-final against Spanish side Real Calahonda. This was a close game, but some great play up front and tighter control at the back gave Andy Bury the chances he needed to crack home two winning goals. The final was an excellent open game against Northwich, who had beaten the Drifters 1-0 earlier in the phase. The Drifters took the lead after dominant play with another exemplary turn and shot from captain and top scorer Andy Bury. Northwich equalised with an assured goal scored from a narrow angle, leaving no chance for goalie Hugo Doswald. However, the Drifters continued to dominate, and the winner came from the goal of the tournament when midfielder Glyn Ballman saw a chance from a quickly taken free kick to drill a pass over 40 metres through to the perfectly positioned Darren Walsh's dynamite left foot, and the explosive shot that followed left the Northwich goalie no chance of saving the winning goal. And there's a photograph of the two victorious Team Drifters teams with their silverware medals, partners and friends, and holding up a very large Devon flag with the green background with the white cross.
D-Day tragedy is remembered. A memorial service to mark the 80th anniversary of the Devon D-Day tragedy took place at Torcross last Sunday. Hundreds of American soldiers and sailors died when their landing craft, taking part in Exercise Tiger, were attacked by German E-boats during a rehearsal for the Normandy landings as they were sailing off the Devon coast on April 28, 1944. Both Torcross and Slapton had been chosen as a practice area for Exercise Tiger because its topography resembled Utah Beach in Normandy, one of the D-Day landing beaches. Sunday service was led by the Reverend Mark Neave, priest in charge of the Start Bay Mission Community, with contributions from members of the Royal Tank Regiment. Laurie Bolton, whose uncle was killed in the tragedy, gave a moving address, and representatives of the U.S. Army Brigadier General Matthew W. Brown and the U.S. Navy Lieutenant Ariel Shope Hall also addressed the crowd. Dignitaries, members of the armed forces, but also representatives of the U.S. servicemen lost, were in attendance. The Reverend Neave said, "This commemoration is a poignant prelude to the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings that will be celebrated later this year. If we don't remember, we never learn the lessons of history, and it would be easy to regard Exercise Tiger as a failure. And yet the people who died there showed as much bravery and heroism as any who died during the D-Day campaign, and I'm sure that lessons were learned that saved lives later on."
Brave souls to abseil from tower. 54 brave souls from across Devon are to abseil from the top of Exeter Cathedral's Norman North Tower, an amazing 140 feet to the ground, on Saturday. Those taking part are being sponsored by individuals and businesses in an effort to help raise funds for the building of a new cloister gallery at the cathedral. The new structure will connect the cathedral with a 13th century chapter house and Pearson building, making it a better place for community gatherings, events and much more. All ages will be taking part in the abseil. Anne Eyre, aged 83 years, and two of her grandchildren will be taking part. Anne explained, "I am doing this partly in memory of my late husband Richard, a former dean. His head is carved into the South Tower, featuring his large ears, of which he was so proud, as the stonemasons of the time were aware. I have such strong links here. My husband is buried inside the cathedral, and my eldest daughter was married here. We lived in the deanery, now the old deanery, for over 14 years, and after 17 years away, we returned 13 years ago, sadly having only two together. Now the present dean has the vision and courage to rebuild part of the cloister on its original medieval foundations. It has been so exciting to watch. The archaeology and which retells the stories of past events from Roman times to now." Anne added, We now have 54 abseilers. The day is billed to be a great day. I'm praying that the weather will behave as we wish. I'm completely amazed by all the goodwill and generosity, especially when times are so tough. All the abseilers are working hard and looking forward to being part of a special day.
That brings us to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday the 3rd of May. And we do hope that you have enjoyed the programme. If you need to contact us for any reason, the telephone number is 07376 147374. I'll repeat that, 07376 147374. Please leave your name and telephone number on the answering service and we will ring you back. Our editor this week is Jean Cole, the copier is Janet Bates, and the dispatcher is Janet Bates. The programme was produced and directed by Ian Ferguson. So it's time for us to say goodbye from our readers, Maggie West and Linda Bowman.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And from me, Jean Cole, goodbye.